So we arrive in this letter to the Hebrews to this great chapter 11, where this great exposition of faith from so many characters from the Old Testament. And so we have this little snip from the section about Abraham. And on Monday, we'll get a little bit more of it as well. I would really just encourage you, invite you to go to chapter 11 of Hebrews and just see how the characters in our spiritual family have exercised faith and what faith looked like in their life. It becomes a model for us. Because I think if we're honest, most of us live our faith like the apostles in the gospel. Very fragile faith. Living a lot of fear, the uncertainty. Not really trusting that Jesus is with us in the boat. Which, by the way, this little image here by the ambo is a depiction of this scene. So maybe, perhaps after Mass, if you want to spend some time with a little visual meditation on the gospel. But that beautiful question of Jesus, why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith? I hear him say that with a gentle question. Much like a parent trying to calm a child who wakes up from a nightmare. We can go to Jesus with our fears, with our shaky faith, with our questions and our doubts and our uncertainties. And he says, do you not yet have faith? There's a certain expectation that the faith comes and grows. And it's not an automatic thing, but it's something that comes to us, something that develops within us. And it's this lived expression, this lived encounter with Jesus that allows the faith to grow within us. Sacramentally, we say faith is given to us, it's infused into our souls with baptism. But it must be exercised. We receive the truth, and then we assent to it, we agree to it, we begin to live our life according to that truth, with an intellect and a will in conformity with each other. So that when the storms of life come, whether worldwide storms or personal storms, we can turn to the Lord, trusting that he's there with us in the boat, asleep, seemingly ignoring what's going on in our life. But as we sit with that reality, as we meditate, contemplate that reality, it should alleviate some of the fears that come, the doubt that comes when things don't go our way or when things seem to be going the wrong way. That perhaps the Lord is in the boat with us, giving us an opportunity to practice faith, trusting that he's with us, even when things don't seem to be as we would like them to be. The Lord was preparing the apostles to change the world. Not through military conquer, not through some great escapade, but through the simple expression of a life of faith, trusting that what Jesus has said is true, trusting that the promises that he's given us will come true. He's doing the same for us, preparing us to be life changers, world changers. But one day, one decision at a time. So that our response to the people around us who are recoiling in fear and desiring a different outcome that our witness of a calm, expectant hope and faith can change the lives of the people around us. So we ask, as the apostles did, to increase our faith. Like the man in the Gospels, I believe, help my unbelief. This reality of this human experience, this human relationship with Jesus, that we don't have to be perfect, that we don't have to have it all figured out. But we know he's in the boat with us, and we trust that in the end it will work out. And we celebrate the great, perhaps the greatest theologian, the great doctor of the church, St. Thomas Aquinas, today. A simple man. I was reading, like, when they were doing his canonization process, they couldn't find any great miracles that he was attributed to him. They couldn't find any evidence of a great life of penance or mortification. He didn't have any outward signs of living the life of holiness that sometimes we put these plastic saint card pictures on our house, that we have to be this certain way. He was just there, just a preacher, just a priest, a scholar who loved Jesus and dedicated his entire life to him. He wrote so beautifully. So much about what we know about Jesus and about the sacraments and how we can explain the faith comes from the work of this man who quietly worked to understand more and more the heart of Jesus. So this too can be an inspiration for us, that we don't have to live these wildly extravagant, holy, quote-unquote, holy lives. To be faithful to what God's asking of us every day. You know, there's a story told that towards the end of Thomas's life, he had this mystical vision of the Lord. And the Lord said, "Thomas, you've written so well of me. What can I give you in return?" And the response that Thomas gave was simply, "None but you, Lord." What a beautiful, faith-filled response. That no matter where we are, no matter what we have, no matter what's provided or offered to us, that with faith in who Jesus is, to be satisfied with none but him. So we can ask St. Thomas to pray for us. That in the ordinariness of our life, amidst the storms that come, we can trust that the Lord is with us and be satisfied with none but you, O Lord. Amen.